Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. This show will first be broadcast on Wednesday, August 30th, 2023, the last show of August 2023, on 91.7 FM WHUS Storrs. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host Ron Meniza. I'm coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, Patreon, and Buzzsprouts. You can also check out my Facebook page, X, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Okay, so what's going on with me and my back and stuff? So I've turned a corner. I'm very, very happy about this. So big shout out to all my caregivers. So I've been taken care of by Peltier and Killian over in Mansfield, specifically Olga and Vera. So they've been doing a nice job with me. I have been taken care of by Nicole Smith, the Pampered Porcupine over in Scotland. So that's been wonderful. Craniosacral therapy. I have another treatment of that with Therese Hart on Wednesday, so I'm psyched about that. Yes, I'm doing a lot of things because I got to figure out what works. And Diane Marion did a lovely massage on me. The only thing is that this condition did not call for a massage. It was a little too much on the muscles. I may be able to handle massage now, but when it was very acute, when I have nerve pain, it's not good. But things where you're just laying hands on, doing specific activities for the muscles and the joints, as well as, and even just putting needles in, those work just fine. So I was able to tolerate those, and they were all helpful. Every treatment that I would do, I'd feel better after I would do it. Particularly the craniosacral and acupuncture, I feel better. Like, I get off the table and I feel better. It's wonderful. Those effects are lasting. But it seems like one of the things that needed to happen is the nerve needed to quiet down. Now, basically, when you have an orthopedic condition, generally your insurance will not cover an MRI, a magnetic resonance imaging screen, if you have not tried physical therapy and anti-inflammatories first. So I was not due to get an MRI. I had to try doing physical therapy first. And so I am doing that. And I cannot say that I have failed physical therapy because I am much, much better. So I guess I don't get to get an MRI.
Guess not.
Not anytime soon anyway. So that's kind of exciting. Because what has happened is over time, my back pain is mostly gone. I mean, it does get stiff if I sit for a long time, but it's easily stretched out or rolled out with a foam roller. By the way, I'm using a foam roller as well. And so the back pain is much, much better. And even sitting, last week was the first week where I sat for a long time at my office and had very, very minimal pain, and I really didn't have nerve pain. It was unbelievable. I mean, I have a special cushion at work, and I have a bolster under my feet, and I was able to sit, get up and down, and do what I needed to do, and, you know, do charting and all that kind of stuff, and I had very minimal pain. It was amazing. And then the other neat thing that happened is on Wednesday the 23rd, I had a very nice day. I went and walked on the Lebanon Green. And by the way, everywhere I walk, I run into people I know.
Yeah.
So shout out to Anne Marie and Mike.
Do you know everyone?
Not yet. Mm. So I
had to ask.
I ran into Anne Marie and Mike and their dog Bentley, who was the lovingest of the Golden Retrievers, which was very exciting. And I also met a bedstraw hawk moth. And they're called bedstraw hawk moths because they eat bedstraw, Gallium aparine, cleavers. So that's a weed that's actually a very helpful kidney tonic, by the way. So anyway, I saw this weirdo caterpillar. It's tan with yellow spots, and it has pink at either end of it. And so I posted this picture of it, and then yesterday, my friend Kim, you know, little Kim, who rides a bike a lot, she posted a picture of one as well. So I guess it's their time of year. They're being born.
Kim from Ashford.
Yeah, that Kim.
That Kim.
Yes. Right. Yes. Yeah, she posted a picture of one too. I'm like, I guess it's their time right now. She was on the airline trail and I was on the Lebanon Green. I'm not sure where she was because She went very far. So anyway, as she would.
As she
does. Went all the way to Hampton, or she went to the Lyman Viaduct.
Right.
And she may have gone all the way to East Hampton. I don't know. But she was along there. That's where she went. And she went from Connecticut, the Railroad Museum. Anyway, so had a great walk. And then I went to my friend Bruce's and went on the upside down table. And that was very nice. I spent two sets of 2.5 minutes upside down. And that was great. And I got knocked over by, not knocked over, but jumped on by Brooklyn the boxer. That was fun, too. Got some more sunflowers at Liberty Hill Farm. That was fun, too. And made a stop at Hosmer and got a few things there. And then I went swimming. And I had a nice swim and a nice chat with my friend John, who's letting me use his pool. Big shout out to him as well. Big shout out to Bruce, who's letting me use the upside down table. So every single thing that I have done has been helpful. Big shout out to my foam roller and whoever made the foam roller. It's really, really helpful, I must say. And big shout out to the little yellow ball that Olga gave me that helps me move. It helps me massage out the back of my knee and my calf and stuff. The other thing I want to shout out to is ice cubes. Olga showed me how to do ice massage on my swollen knee, and that's very helpful as well. So that's wonderful. So anyway, so on Wednesday evening, I was walking around my house after doing all that exercise. By all that, I mean a half-hour walk and a 20-minute swim, which, you know, is not very long given what I'm used to. And I started to feel some weird shooting pains in my, or shooting sensations in my left thigh. And then all of a sudden I felt like it was like the power company had turned the lights back on, that my leg was suddenly working better. And I had more sensation in my leg. Now my leg is still, I still have paresthesia. I still have reduced sensation on the side of my left leg. But it's a lot better. And I can feel that the nerve connections are, the nerves are reconnecting because the leg is not as weak and I'm able to use it more. And the other thing is that the leg is itchy. I feel like I want to scratch it sometimes. So I'm assuming.
Like it's healing.
Yes, so like right. So I think that's the nerve connections are being made, and I guess there's circulatory things that are happening. And when the leg, when the nerve connections were down, the leg got really tight. It was really spasmed, and I feel like it is not as tight. And I'll have to ask Olga today what she thinks. So I walked today, and I walked yesterday for just half an hour, just over half an hour. I went to Mansfield Hollow yesterday, and that was very nice. And when I go walking, I see people I know. So shout out to Brian for doing some herbal identification for me, and shout out to Randy, who likes to walk around and just look at pretty stuff. So not one, but two people I knew on my Mansfield Hollow walk. All right, so that was fun. And then this week, thank goodness, the dysautonomia, the shaky stuff has calmed down. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling like Wednesday we're going to have to like try a 5-miler on the bike.
Yeah.
Yep. Or if it rains on Wednesday, it'll be half an hour to an hour on the trainer, maybe half hour. Yeah. So half an hour seems to be the thing. And you're all going to Stafford this weekend. So I'm going to probably do a very short ride and then meet you in Stafford in the car.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, so things are going good. The other thing I am doing is I'm taking I think this is part of what's going on too. I'm taking a special collagen peptide complex that has special forms of collagen peptides. And the collagen peptides help to rebuild the discs. It's nutrition to help rebuild the discs. And then it has some lovely anti-inflammatories in it. It has some Chinese skullcap in it, a special extract of Chinese skullcap, which is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. Chinese skullcap also happens to be something that can kill Lyme disease and reduce inflammation of any kind. It's a great antiviral as well. So there's a special extract of this in this compound, and I've been taking that. I started taking that maybe a month ago, and I think that may be kicking in as well. That may be part of why I'm able to sit for a long time and not feel pain, because there's more cushioning in my discs. So do I still have bulging discs? I don't know, because we haven't done an MRI. And again, can't do an MRI unless you've failed PT and anti-inflammatories, and we can't say that I have. So I'm pretty psyched. Probably by the next time you see me, I'll have been back on the bike, and that'll be exciting. And the next time you'll see me, it'll be after Labor Day. This is it for August. What are we going to do? I know. So it's really nice out because it's not getting as hot, and it's nice to get those last days of summer. Last night I did a restorative yoga class in my yard by Zoom, and that was very nice. So yeah, get those last summer days in. One of the things that I saw when I was on my walk yesterday was sneezeweed, which is a very cute plant. It used to be used as an antiviral, and they used to dry it and grind it up and sniff it. So that's why it was called sneezeweed. It looks a little bit like a small brown-eyed Susan, the same color as a brown-eyed Susan. I saw some of those wild as well. But sneezeweed, it's shaped like how echinacea has the center sticking up and the petals come downward instead of out horizontally. It's like that, but the flowers are much smaller, like a small daisy, and they're really cute. Make me happy. I didn't realize that they bloomed this late either. Usually I will see the sneezeweed in mid-July. And sneezeweed is one of those plants that you have to go somewhere special to see it because it really prefers marshy soil. So it's going to be growing right next to the water, like a few feet from the water's edge. And that is where I saw it. You're not going to see it in your backyard unless you live on the water. But Mansfield Hollow, of course, you are, you're right next to the water there. All right. So we're talking about supplements to help with various things. Let's go right to supplements to rebuild joints. I was going to do autoimmune conditions first, but I think I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go right to supplements to rebuild joints. Let's talk about those because that's very key right now. So here's supplements for joint pain. We're going to go back to our turmeric. Turmeric is very popular. It helps to treat pain, even pain caused by osteoarthritis. And osteoarthritis is specifically when you have degenerative conditions of your joints. You can have inflammation when you have osteoarthritis, but the inflammation is secondary to the degeneration of the joints. And you can have degeneration of joints anywhere in your body. You can have it anywhere along your spine. When you have joint degeneration in your spine, it's more commonly in your lumbar spine. That's why everybody gets back pain. Why the lumbar spine? Because it's the center of gravity of your body. It's where your body holds you up, essentially. It's where your core is. So you're more likely to get disc degeneration there. People get joint degeneration in their hips as well, because the hips are part of the core. And they get used a lot. The second place that you tend to get degeneration in your spine is your cervical spine, so in your neck, because you're holding your head up all day. And I think that it's slightly less common to get cervical disc degeneration, but it is still super common. I see people with it all the time, people who have bad necks. There's a couple of reasons why that's happening. One of them is that we spend so much time on the computer and our posture isn't wonderful when we're on the computer. So our head is bent forward. Our lumbar spine is slouched forward and we're just in an awful position that isn't the way that our spine naturally curves. So when people are looking forward like that, that's really bad for the cervical spine. Cervical spine is supposed to have a lordosis, which means it's supposed to be sort of concave in the back. And when you move it forward and it gets more convex, it's not holding itself up in an ideal position. And the discs are going to get compressed and they're going to bulge out. And then you're going to wind up having pain and pressure on nerve roots. And so then you get discomfort in your arms because the nerve roots from the cervical spine feed your arms on both sides. So people complain of numbness and tingling going along their arms when they have problems with their neck. And so we see that commonly. What's the other reason that people... So it's first of all, it's the computer. For some people, it's riding the bike and being in a position that doesn't work for them on the bike. But that's not most people, because most people, I'm so sorry, don't ride a bike.
You're right.
So the second most thing...
That's all right. I've learned to live with it.
The second thing that... gives people this is probably worse than working on a computer or a laptop. It's the device. Looking down at the device, looking down at the device, working on the device. So whether it's for most people it's a cell phone. More people have phones than have tablets, especially if you're of a certain age. If you're of a certain age, which Ron and I are, both of us are sitting here holding tablets. Actually, what's really funny is I am holding a tablet. So in order to save paper, I like to use my outline. You know, I have an outline for your show. So I have things that I can talk about. I have the outline on the tab on my iPad. I'm doing Facebook Live on my Samsung, which is an Android tablet. And then I'm doing Instagram Live on my phone. So I've got three devices going.
Right.
And I usually do Android, but I got this iPad for the pandemic because we had to really quick flip to virtual and I needed a way to do FaceTime because most people have iPhones. And so this has been a very useful tablet. I'm very happy with this tablet. I hope this tablet never dies because now this tablet's 3 years old. Still working great. Yeah.
That's good.
I don't use it a ton. I mean, I don't use my tablets nearly as much as I use my phone. I kind of need a new phone. Anyway, so turmeric is a wonderful anti-inflammatory. There are certain interleukins that that it reduces, and there's all kinds of inflammation that it does. And the other thing that it reduces, it does, is it helps with healthy gene expression. So if you have unhappy inflamed cells, the cells are going to express themselves better. When you're trying to rebuild collagen, it's going to help to reduce oxidative stress so that you have so that the genes do what they're supposed to do. And as you've heard me say before, turmeric, if you don't take it enhanced, it will not be well absorbed. It will go through your digestive system and will do a lovely job of reducing inflammation in your digestive system. If you reduce inflammation in your digestive system, you're going to absorb a lot of stuff a lot better. So it's not a bad idea to eat turmeric and take turmeric that hasn't been enhanced. If you want it to get into your system and you want it to reduce inflammation in your joints, you're going to need to get some with piperine, which is extract of black pepper, which enhances its absorption significantly. You can get phytosome, where it's bound to phosphatidylcholine so that the cells are going to take it up more readily. And or you want to do water dispersed, which makes it just easier to absorb at the level of the villi in your small intestine. Or you want to get amorphous, which is supposedly that's the latest and greatest way to take curcumin. In fact, you have to make sure you don't take too much because it will be highly absorbed. The thing with turmeric and curcumin is extract of turmeric. The thing with it is a cholagogue. It pushes bile through your system. So if you take too much of it, it could potentially give you diarrhea. And if you have any biliary sludge or stones, it can aggravate that. If you have gallstones, you have to be really careful taking turmeric because it can push the gallstones out and you can get an attack like a stuck stone or get an attack of gallbladder inflammation. So that's turmeric. Then there's fish oil. Fish oil has omega-3 fatty acids, docosahexaenoic acid and eicosapentaenoic acid. Those are wonderful anti-inflammatories. They hit the PGE1 and PGE3 series of prostaglandins, which are anti-inflammatory in your body. And there are studies on that show that taking fish oil reduces symptoms of joint pain, like rheumatoid arthritis. Although it may not reduce osteoarthritis symptoms, probably because the inflammation in osteoarthritis is secondary to degeneration. So it's only going to work so well if you have degeneration. If you're going to reduce pain from osteoarthritis, you have to address the degeneration. So we'll tell you about how that is. All right, so we're going to do that right now. So then there's glucosamine. Glucosamine is a component of cartilage. It prevents bones from rubbing against each other, and which causes pain and inflammation. So you see when the bones rub together and they don't have cushioning, that's where you get the inflammation. So if you correct the rubbing, if you increase the amount of cartilage in between the joints, you're going to have less irritation and inflammation. So when you get supplements with joint pain, they have glucosamine in it. It's very well studied. There's some questions on how well it works. And in my experience, some people take it and it works really, really well. And some people, it doesn't work so well. It comes as a hydrochloride or as a sulfate. And some people have reactions to it. Some people can't take it. They get digestive upset. And there was an analysis that showed that the hydrochloride doesn't improve joint pain so well. And that glucosamine sulfate does. So why would you take hydrochloride if you know that the sulfate works better? Well, one of the issues is that you can make glucosamine hydrochloride from vegan sources, and some people want to take that they're vegans or they're kosher, or for whatever reason they don't want to get glucosamine sulfate. They want to have a vegetarian glucosamine sulfate and or glucosamine, I should say. And glucosamine hydrochloride can be made from vegetarian sources. I don't know that sulfate can. Glucosamine sulfate, and the thing is, glucosamine sulfate is usually extracted from shellfish and crustaceans. I think crustaceans, actually. And so it doesn't work for people who are vegetarian, and it doesn't work for people who keep kosher. So Jewish people, because crustaceans and shellfish are not kosher, probably because they're supposedly, I don't know if it's as much because they're bottom feeders or, you know, they're filters, so you don't know what they're eating. They're not vegetarian themselves. Or it's that, the other reason could be that in ancient places where Judaism was developed, they didn't eat those things so much because there's certain things that are kosher, in certain cultures that aren't kosher in other cultures, and it has to do with where they lived. But I'm assuming that the reason that shellfish and crustaceans are not kosher is because they are not vegetarian themselves. They filter and they eat smaller versions of themselves, like krill and stuff. So, which, and krill are not kosher either because they're crustaceans as well. So if you keep kosher, you don't want to take krill oil. You can take fish oil. Fish oil is usually made from small. That's the nice thing about fish oil. Fish oil is, people are sometimes concerned that fish oil could have heavy metals in it, but it generally does not. If you get a high quality fish oil from a good brand, they're going to be testing it for heavy metals and molds and all kinds of things like that. But fish oil generally is extracted from tiny fish. It's from anchovies and sardines and mackerel, or some combination or permutation of those guys. And those are tiny fish, and they really don't get big enough to bioaccumulate significant amounts of heavy metals. Whereas if you got it from, say, swordfish or tuna, then they do. And then there's salmon. You can get salmon oil. Salmon oil has a lower yield of essential fatty acids in it because they don't spend as much time in the cold water ocean, because part of the salmon's life cycle is to be in fresh water. So they tend to have less essential fatty acids than your salmon, your tuna, your mackerel, your anchovies, your sardines. When you think about when you eat sardines, they're very oily. I like them. You don't?
No.
Yeah, but I grew up eating smoked fish because I'm Jewish. Because I'm Eastern European Jewish, and right. Smoked fish was part of my culture. So we grew up eating bagels and lox and whitefish and stuff like that. So I like fermented or smoked fish. I like other smoked things too. What has found that glucosamine sulfate may help to slow down progression of arthritis and slows down the narrowing of the joint space. And you have to take it for a long time. People tend not to notice differences. In the studies, people tend not to notice differences for about 3 months while taking it. You have to take it for a long time. And any of these things that cause joint rebuilding, this is my experience as well, that in order to for it to help you to feel better and to reduce pain, what has to happen is you have to rebuild joints and discs and stuff, and that takes time. And so you're not going to notice. Some people say, they swear, they take glucosamine sulfate, a week later they're like, I'm so much better. Who knows if they really are getting a lot of absorption and they are getting some more cushioning at that point, or is it placebo? I don't know. I'm taking something, I'm very positive about it, I'm putting it in my body. Could there be an energetic piece to it? Sure, why not? But the studies show that glucosamine sulfate will be helpful for you after about 3 months. That's when you're going to start to really notice a difference. The general dose that has been studied is 1,500 milligrams a day. And sometimes it can upset your stomach, and the recommendation is to take it in divided doses throughout the day. Some people can't take glucosamine sulfate at all because it just bothers their stomach, and there's a solution to that. Okay, and then there's chondroitin sulfate. The thing is, glucosamine sulfate is a component of chondroitin sulfate. Chondroitin sulfate is what's actually in your joints. So what you're trying to do is build chondroitin sulfate, And if you take chondroitin sulfate, my understanding is that your body has to break it down and then turn it into its own glucosamine sulfate. But anyway, it's another building block of cartilage and can help to prevent cartilage breakdown. And there are good clinical studies on chondroitin too that can reduce joint pain and stiffness in people with osteoarthritis. And people take it and they get a 20% or greater improvement in pain. It can also slow down the progression of osteoarthritis when you take it long term, and can also slow down the narrowing of the joint space. And you can get joint supplements that have chondroitin and glucosamine together, but it's not clear if taking a combination is any better than one or the other. And, you know, that one, you wind up taking a little less, wind up taking a little less chondroitin. The dose for chondroitin, you can take around 1,200 milligrams a day, but some people take twice that much. So, and then there's SAMe, S-adenosyl L-methionine. And the thing about SAMe is I like SAMe because it can be really helpful, you think of SAMe as something that you take for depression. If you're a person with methylation problems, it can be helpful for your depression because it's going to make your B12, B6, your whole methylation cycle, your B12, your B6, and folic acid, they're all going to work better, and therefore your neurotransmitters are going to work better, and all the things that you need, your amino acid shunts and your protein your protein synthesis, everything's going to work better if you get SAMe on board. SAMe also helps with joint pain caused by osteoarthritis and has even been compared with celecoxib, which is a COX-2 inhibitor and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. And they showed that they're comparable. SAMe is going to have a lot less side effects than that COX-2 and COX-2 inhibitors can increase your stroke risk, and SAMe does not. So, thing is, SAMe. My concern with SAMe is expensive, and so people often don't take it because it costs too much. Although, you know, when you get into supplements can be expensive in general, unfortunately. All right, and then there's Boswellia, which is the genus of frankincense. Yes, one of the three wise men gifts. Frankincense was a really good gift that the wise men purportedly brought to Yeshua, whatever you call him. So it was a really good gift because frankincense is a terrific anti-inflammatory, and it works well if you take it internally, and it can be helpful even if you have the essential oil and you apply it topically. I don't do too well with Boswellia internally. It tends to give me an upset stomach, but I like to have it topically. It's fine, you know, so it's a nice thing you can put on your joints. And it can be really helpful. It's great anti-inflammatory. Boswellia can improve pain symptoms, and it's been shown to improve pain symptoms more than placebo in osteoarthritis. So even though some anti-inflammatories don't work that great for osteoarthritis, Boswellia does. So that's kind of interesting because it just depends on what mechanism the inflammation is happening in. And if it's in the COX cycle, then Boswellia is going to help because it's working in that COX-1, COX-2, COX stands for cyclooxygenase, and LOX stands for lipoxygenase, and Boswellia helps with those cycles. And so if the pain is mediated by those things, it's going to help. If you take, that's why NSAIDs work. NSAIDs will help because, you know, the pain is mediated. The local inflammatory compounds are in the cyclooxygenase and lipoxygenase cycle, so the NSAIDs are going to be helpful for that. You ready for this?
No.
Avocado soybean unsaponifiables.
All right. What does that mean?
Right. It's an extract from avocados and soybean oils that can help prevent the breakdown. I've never heard of this. It's also known as ASU, as in Arizona State University.
Not really.
Avocado soy. I'm learning about this. It's wonderful. It shows that ASUs improve pain symptoms more than placebo. So you can take, so this is a supplement that you could find, and you usually take around 300 milligrams a day, but it depends on the person. I never heard of that. That's so interesting. Avocado, soybean, unsaponifiables. You heard it here.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, avocado is good for reducing your LDLs also.
Yes. Well, right. Yes, because LDL, yeah, because avocado, it's because of the monounsaturated fatty acids in avocado, which are also anti-inflammatory. And probably it's also because of the fiber. There's a lot of fiber in avocados. We eat a lot of fiber, especially this time of year. My goodness. So we had healthy hamburgers and hot dogs last night. I had a hot dog because hot dogs are smaller than, I don't know, I just didn't feel like a burger last night. I'm not exercising as much as he is. So I got a small hot dog, which was nice. And we get lovely organic hot dogs with no chemicals in them. And so I have that and I take my hot dog and I don't like to eat. When I'm eating meat, you know how you like to eat a burger or a hot dog on a bun? I don't because it's too heavy. So I have it on a live chia wrap. That I get from out west. So I have that. I have my fake cheese, a nice brand of pseudo cheese. And I put sweet pickle relish on it and mustard and sauerkraut. And that's how I eat my hot dog. So even though I was having a hot dog, he was making a hamburger for himself. So he gave me all the same toppings like I was having a hamburger. Mm-hmm. So he gave me two fat slices of beefsteak tomato, and the tomatoes are insane right now. We're getting
they
tomatoes. We have tomatoes coming out of our ears, both from the farmer's market and from the CSA. Unbelievable. So these tomatoes, I was perfectly happy to eat them because I just didn't eat them on my hot dog because hot dog with tomato on it, weird. I suppose you could, but I didn't want to. So I just ate it.
I just figured that you would sprinkle a little salt on it or you put a little olive oil on with some basil and that's
I was
nice
too lazy
too.
To go get the salt, but I
and
dipped
I put
it
a little
in the
fake mozzarella on mine.
Yeah, that was really good. So I ate the tomatoes, I ate the lettuce. It was great. And he gave me a little avocado too. So I had some avocado, but I just ate it separately like it was a mini salad next to my hot dog. So it was good. So much produce, so much fiber. Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Devil's Claw, Harpagophytum. It has harpagocide, and it's anti-inflammatory. So it's lovely. Devil's Claw is more of an, it is an anti-inflammatory. I think of it as an anti-inflammatory. Devil's Claw will often show up in joint compounds. And, you know, if you have a mixed herbal compound or mixed herbal tincture, Devil's Claw is going to be in there. And works pretty well. It has diacerin in it. And it can be helpful. Things with Devil's Claw in it tend to help to reduce inflammation and pain. So that's nice. Then there's MSM, methyl sulfonyl methane. So MSM is a very absorbable form of sulfur. That's basically how it works. It's a very simple compound, and you can get topical MSM to put on, to use as an anti-inflammatory on joints. You can get topical creams that have MSM in them. And MSM it's been shown to help improve pain and functioning compared to placebo. And some people will take combinations of MSM, glucosamine, and chondroitin together. You can get all three in one. Or you can just try taking MSM. MSM is a great anti-inflammatory as well. I once, to save money, I bought MSM powder, and it smells and tastes terrible because it's basically sulfur. And so I couldn't take it, and I have this MSM powder. So I recommend if you're going to get MSM, you probably want to take pills. And it's easy to take. It's easy on your stomach. And it's a great anti-inflammatory. People take it for asthma as well. It's just a great general all-around anti-inflammatory. Like I said, it's an absorbable form of sulfur, and you use sulfur. The sulfur in the MSM is going to help you to rebuild your cartilage. That's part of how it works, and it's also anti-inflammatory. Probably is going to help you to make more glucosamine, it's going to help you make more glucosamine and chondroitin, but also going to help you make more glutathione. Glutathione, any of your sulfur-bearing amino acids, it's going to help you make more of those. Your methionine and your cysteine and your N-acetylcysteine and so it's going to help you with all those. And ultimately, you're going to make glutathione out of that. All right. So Those are some great anti-inflammatory supplements. Just remember that when you are choosing a supplement, you want to make sure that the supplements you take are in a form that you can absorb. Liquids and powders can often be better than taking a pill because your body doesn't have to break down the pill. And capsules tend to be better than tablets. Tablets can have a lot of ingredients in them. You have to have adequately functioning hydrochloric acid in your stomach if you're going to do a good job of absorbing. Now, some people take tablets and they have no problem with them. And they're like, I take this tablet and it works for me. Some tablets are designed to work very well and break down in your stomach, and some are not. If you're taking a supplement and it's hard to swallow, or you find that it's not really working, you can consider whether the form of the tablet that you're taking is really working for you. And some brands are going to be higher quality than others, and you get what you pay for. If you don't spend a lot of money and you get a tablet that has a lot of tableting agents, it's going to be hard to break down. It can have artificial ingredients in it. It can have artificial colors in it and flavorings and even sugar. And if it has those things in it, it may not do what you want it to do. So if you get professionally, at least go to a health food store or get your supplements from somebody who's a professional. They're going to be providing you with supplements that that have been vetted and that work really well, and you know, that they're experienced with, and they tend to work better. And like I said, powders and liquids tend to work better, but some things don't taste good, so you're just not going to want to take that. I mean, if a patient says to me, I always ask about fish oil, because fish oil I really like personally. I am fine with taking fish oil as a liquid. And when you buy fish oil as a liquid, it's generally flavored. And so it really, and if it tastes like fish, it's not fresh and you shouldn't be taking it. When you buy fish oil as a liquid, it's going to just taste oily and lemony, and you put it in the fridge, and once it starts taking fishy, it's bad. You have to dump it out. So if you take it, commit to taking it. The thing that I like about fish oil is it's easier, it's more economical when they don't have to put it in a pill, and it's easier to take more because you put it in a spoon and you're one and done. And so you can get in more fish. Like, it's easier to take a couple of teaspoons and get a good 1,000 at least of EPA and close to 1,000 of DHA, and you're just gonna get more essential fatty acids than if you have to keep swallowing pills. You know, I tend to tell people, take a couple of fish oil pills and eat some fish during the week. Most people don't want to take liquid fish oil. And if you are burping up fish oil, it's probably because some people just, no matter what they do, they burp fish oil and they just can't take it. But some people, when we give them enterically coated fish oil, where it's got an acid-resistant coating on it, it won't break down until it gets into the small intestine and you won't get your fish burps. But if you get a really high-quality fish oil, it shouldn't repeat on you, whether it's liquid or whether it's a pill. And then if you get a supplement that has minimal tableting agents, that you look in it and it just has a little bit of amino acid in it and it doesn't have magnesium stearate in it, you're going to absorb it better than if it does have those things in it. So that's something to look at. And that's definitely something you can talk to your natural healthcare practitioner about, or a very knowledgeable person at your favorite health food store. And if you support your favorite health food store, they're going to be in business longer. And health food stores are generally in the business of providing you with high quality supplements. Whereas if you go to the drugstore, a lot of the drugstore supplements can be made by pharmaceutical companies. And that doesn't mean that they're bad. That there are some drugstore brands that are made by pharmaceutical companies and they work really nicely. So I'm not going to say that's true of all of them. So when patients bring supplements to me and they hand them to me and they show them to me, or they tell me which one they're taking and I look them up online, I can look at them and I can vet them. And as long as I trust what it says on the bottle, sometimes a supplement from the drugstore is just fine. And sometimes it's not. But it's going to be more likely to be fine if it's from a reputable company, if it comes from a professional, or if it comes from a health food store. That doesn't mean that everything in the health food store is perfect. So, I mean, you have to check it, and you have to have an experience with it, and you have to take it and see how it makes you feel. So that's how you choose a supplement. All right. So now we want supplements to rebuild nerves. Yeah. So when you have neuropathy, neuropathy just means you have something wrong with a nerve. So I basically have neuropathy in my left leg because I have a bum femoral nerve on this side. I still have paresthesia. Paresthesia is a word that means a change in sensation. And generally, when you use the term paresthesia, you're talking about reduced sensation. You can also have change in sensation, that like pins and needles and prickling sensations and electrical sensations. Paresthesia means a change in sensation. Anesthesia means no sensation. And so anesthesia is, of course, something that you do for somebody when you're going to do surgery on them. And you're basically going to say, I mean, you could say that if you have no sensation in your leg, you have anesthesia in that leg. But generally, you don't say, and even if you have no sensation, you generally use paresthesia to refer to changes in sensation because of nerve issues. So I definitely have paresthesia in my femoral nerve and my left lateral femoral cutaneous nerve because I have change in sensation in that dermatome. But I also definitely have change in the femoral nerve because that femoral nerve is, because it's affecting my quad. And when it affects your quad, that's your actual femoral nerve, not the cutaneous nerve. A cutaneous nerve only affects the skin. So I got both because I had, I either bruised the nerve or had a disc sitting on it or something. All right, so what do? So neuropathy is used to describe a few conditions that affect the nerves, can cause irritating and painful symptoms, and neuropathy can be a complication of diabetes and also a side effect of chemotherapy, so remember that. There are conventional treatments for neuropathy, but if you are interested in taking supplements, that's what we want to talk to you about. You should always talk to your doctor about supplements, particularly if you're under cancer or chemotherapy. You don't want to take anything that's going to interfere with your cancer, chemotherapy, or radiation or anything. All right. So neuropathy can be helped by B vitamins. And I am taking one myself. The B vitamins that can be most helpful are B1, B6, and B12. And I've got them all lined up. I definitely take the B1 every day. I don't take the B6 and B12 every day. I might see about taking them today. Benfotiamine is a form of vitamin B1, also known as thiamine. Thiamine helps to lower pain and inflammation and prevent cellular damage. You give benfotiamine. I'm taking it myself for this neuropathy and to help heal my vagus nerve as well. You can also give benfotiamine to people for diabetic neuropathy. And it does help to regulate blood sugar too. It can help to lower hemoglobin A1C. So it's really a workhorse B vitamin, very nice. And it's very benign. You can take anywhere from 100 to 250 milligrams of it. I'm taking 250 and I'm doing fine with it. I take it in the evening. Vitamin B12 can be a cause of peripheral neuropathy. And you can take vitamin B12 therapeutically to help with nerve pain. You have to be careful because some people take vitamin B12. If you're getting too much B12 on board, you might get a little wired. And also, there's controversy as to whether you should take an activated form of vitamin B12. If you have methylation issues, which you can talk to your practitioner about, you might choose to take a methylated form of vitamin B12. So that's going to be either methylcobalamin, hydroxycobalamin, or adenosylcobalamin. Those are the methylated forms. Those are in activated forms your body doesn't have to work as hard to absorb. When you get vitamin B12 from the drugstore or a cheap form of vitamin B12, it's generally going to be cyanocobalamin, which your body then has to convert to an activated form for use. So if people have neuropathy, I like to offer, my preference is the adenosyl hydroxycobalamin. That's what I tend to give people. And I don't have people take it every day because it's very easy to absorb and your vitamin B12 levels go up really quick when you take it. But vitamin B12 is something that you can take, you could take therapeutically. So you wind up taking more than the RDA, the recommended daily allowance, but when you take vitamin B12, you're taking microgram doses. People walk in, oh, I take 5,000 micrograms every day. I'm like, what? That's a very high dose. And some people, I'm like, how are you comfortable taking that much vitamin B12? I don't know. The reality is that I don't know that people eat the way that they're supposed to eat. I mean, if you're going to get vitamin B12, you're going to be getting it from animal protein, maybe to some extent from fermented foods like tempeh, but mostly you're getting it from animal protein. And people are either vegetarians. If they're vegetarians, they're not going to get as much vitamin B12, or especially if they're vegan. And I've seen vegans come in and I measure the B12 and it's really low. So I have to get them to take vitamin B12 supplements that have been extracted usually from algae. And I think also what happens is, even if people aren't confirmed vegetarians, people don't eat well. They don't eat healthy food, you know, and they're not eating a variety of foods, and they're not eating good quality protein, and they're not necessarily even eating good quality vegetables, that they're doing a lot of, you know, starch and fat kind of things. And so their overall nutritional status is not good. So anyway, so that's why I've come in, and people are low in basic vitamins. So I wind up having to offer B12, and you're going to be more likely to get neuropathy if you're not getting that B12 on board. Then there's vitamin B6. And when I give B6 for inflammation, I like to give it in its activated form, pyridoxal 5-phosphate. And basic synthetic vitamin B6 is pyridoxine. But pyridoxal 5-phosphate can be helpful for inflammation. And you have to be careful. You don't want to take too much more than 200 milligrams of B6 a day, because it can cause neuropathy. And so I don't give out B6 all the time. And when I give pyridoxal 5-phosphate, I mean, we're talking no more than 20 milligrams a day. You take pretty low doses of that. You can get B vitamins in food.
Mm.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah.
That stuff you eat.
Poultry, fish, meat, seafood, eggs, dairy products, fortified foods, and some vegetables will have B vitamins in them. Vegetables and grains will tend to have B vitamins in them. So vegetarians and vegans are going to tend to be lower in B vitamins, which can be problematic. So if you're a vegetarian or vegan and you're committed to that, make sure you tell your naturopathic physician, and we can help you to eat a little bit better, and also supplement you if that's what's needed. But B vitamins are something that you can supplement and can be really helpful for healing nerves.
Can you actually take enough B vitamins to supplement as a vegetarian?
I think so. I mean, because when you, pills tend to have a lot more than you, like it's really easy to overdo supplements anyway. So I think you can. Is it the same as getting B12 from meat? Maybe, maybe not. And there are better forms of B12, vegetarian B12, that, you know, are food-based. And so you might be able to absorb them more. But yeah, I think you can get them. And my experience is people tend not to be good about taking the supplements either. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then there's alpha lipoic acid. It's a great little antioxidant. It's only little because it is a small molecule. And the nice thing about alpha lipoic acid is that it crosses the blood-brain barrier. And it can be helpful for diabetes. It can be helpful for cancer. In fact, you have to be careful when you take it when you have diabetes if you're already on medication, because it can lower your blood sugar. It can improve nerve function, and it can help with a lot of symptoms. It can help with all of the numbness, burning, prickling, tingling, itching, and pain of neuropathy. And we have people take, starting from about 300 to 600 milligrams, or as much as 1200 milligrams in a day. And again, you have to be careful that it doesn't drop your blood sugar too much. You can get alpha lipoic acid in broccoli, in brewer's yeast, in Brussels sprouts, in spinach, and red meat and liver. So lipoic acid is also known as thiotic acid. Anytime you see thio means sulfur. So lipoic acid's kind of stinky. So is N-acetylcysteine, because they have sulfur in them. You can smell the sulfur. And it's a great detoxifier. It's really good for helping with neuropathy. I'm not taking it right now, but I'm taking other things. Like I said, I'm taking the benfotiamine, and I'm taking phosphatidylserine, which is helpful as well. But alpha lipoic acid has been shown to have a positive effect on nerve conduction and reduce neuropathic pain, and that it's helpful in preventing oxidative damage with diabetic neuropathy. And so if you're deficient in vitamin B1, alpha lipoic acid can be toxic. So if you are drinking too much alcohol for whatever reason, like you are, you know, you're actually an alcoholic, or you're just overdoing alcohol, You might be deficient in vitamin B1. You need vitamin B1 to help to metabolize alpha lipoic acid. Then there's acetyl L-carnitine. That's an amino acid, and it's an antioxidant. It can help your energy, help with healthy nerve cells, and reduce pain in people with neuropathy. And acetyl L-carnitine, note the carn. It's in meat. It's in meat and fish and poultry and dairy. And there are studies where that have shown that it helps with cancer-associated fatigue and chemotherapy-induced peripheral sensory neuropathy. So it's one of the things you can take if you have neuropathy from your chemotherapy. So that's good. Then there's N-acetylcysteine, which I am taking. That's something you can take for neuropathy. It's a form of cysteine, which is a sulfur-bearing amino acid, good old sulfur. When you open the bottle, it's kind of stinky. But I am taking it. It's a great anti-inflammatory. It helps you to make glutathione, which is a great detoxifier. And it's a great antiviral. It's also mucolytic. It helps to break down mucus. It's not found naturally in foods, but cysteine is. It's in most high protein foods. You can take as much as 1200 milligrams a couple times a day. I'm only taking 600. And I think it's all the things I'm doing, I think it's helpful. But, you know, so specifically, I'm taking NAC. I'm not taking fish oil. I'm actually taking SPM, which is Specialized Pro-Resolving Mediator, which is the active component of fish oil that helps with inflammation. And there's studies that show that NAC can be helpful in treating diabetic neuropathy. So as an antioxidant, it helps to improve nerve damage from oxidative stress and cell death. So it's really nice supplement that way. Great detoxifier. You can use curcumin for neuropathy. Taking it, yep. Wonderful anti-inflammatory, helps with pain, helps to relieve the numbness and tingling if you have it in your hands and feet. You can take powder. This is recommending just take it with black pepper. So when you get curry powder, generally has black pepper in it, or it should, because that's going to enhance its absorbance. And so there's a study showing that curcumin reduced chemotherapy-induced neuropathy in mice. It's a mouse study, and it helped with pain, inflammation, and loss of function. So curcumin is another thing you can take for neuropathy. And then there's good old fish oil, as we said before. It can help because it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory, helps to repair damaged nerves, and helps to relieve muscle soreness and pain. And you want to be taking one that has a decent amount of EPA and DHA. Depending on the person, you're going to need more or less. It depends how much fish you're eating. It depends how big you are. And really, your size, it's going to depend on what your dose is. So fish oil, and again, as I was saying about fish oil, I prefer fish oil for people to take it in liquid form because I think you can get more in. Make sure you keep it in the fridge. It's less likely to go rancid that way. And if your fish oil starts to taste off or bad or extra fishy, it's bad and you should throw it out. You can get omega-3 fatty acids from fish, and you can get it from eating salmon, sardines, mackerel. You could take cod liver oil. You can get it from herring. You can take it and anchovies. You can also get essential fatty acids from foods that you eat. The only thing is when you get it from vegetarian sources, it's not in the EPA and DHA form, and your body has to convert it to EPA and DHA. And not everybody's body does that well. And if you have an inflammatory condition, you want to get it in fast, which is why I tend to recommend fish oil. I will even ask vegetarians, do you mind taking some fish oil? And some of them are okay with doing that. They don't want to eat fish or other animal protein, but they'll take fish oil.
They'll take the oil.
It depends on why they're vegetarians. Some people really don't like meat. They don't like to eat animal protein, but they're okay taking a supplement. It's an aversion. As opposed to people who are politically, spiritually, or environmentally opposed to eating meat, they wouldn't take fish oil. But if the reason you're taking it is because you have an aversion, you might be inclined to take fish oil, especially if you took it in pills. And people do that. So, but some people do well, you know, if they're as vegetarians, making sure they get in essential fatty acids. And you can get essential fatty acids from walnuts, from chia seeds, flax seeds, and from soybeans if you digest soybeans well. One of the things that's not on here is black cumin seed oil, and I think it's a wonderful anti-inflammatory. It has thymoquinones in it, which are antimicrobial, but it is also great for reducing inflammation, and it's something that I take every day. One of the things that it does is it helps to reduce blood pressure, which is another reason why I like to take it. And I like to take it a teaspoon. It's very peppery tasting. Not everybody likes the way it tastes. It doesn't taste fishy at all. It's definitely peppery, and it's an acquired taste. But I like to take it every day to help with inflammation, pain, blood pressure, all kinds of stuff. And I find it very helpful. So, and supposedly, you know, people, black cumin seed oil is popular in Africa. It's supposed to be helpful for your hair, skin, and nails. What do you think? I mean, I have a filter on, I admit. Actually, I don't have a filter on Instagram, so I don't know if you could tell. But on Facebook, I do have a little filter. It makes my skin look really nice. But I'm wondering if the black cumin seed oil helps with that. So, all right. So those are some anti-inflammatories to help with nerve pain and with joint pain. I want to, I think there's a couple that they left off. They left off lion's mane, I'm not sure why. Lion's mane is really good for helping with nerve pain. Lion's mane also is helpful for reducing blood sugar, and you have to be careful if you tend to be hypoglycemic or if you're diabetic and you're medicated for your diabetes. So it's a really good idea to watch how much lion's mane you take. I wasn't able to take it because it was just too much. But lion's mane is something else you can take for neuropathy. Another thing they didn't talk about was glutamine. Glutamine is an amino acid that we give it, and we try to find a dose that works for people, but it's been studied to help with the neuropathy of chemotherapy. And glutamine is an amino acid that helps you to absorb protein better. And it's a pleasant tasting powder that you can throw into anything. I take some I've been taking some glutamine that's in one of my supplements. So that's helpful too. And the other thing is the phosphatides, like phosphatidylcholine, phosphatidylserine, phosphatidyl and ethanolamine, because that's going to help you to rebuild your nerve cells. All right. So I think that's enough for today. So we talked about inflammation from stuff to rebuild your joints, stuff to rebuild your nerves. And so there you go. And we have lots more to talk about next week. All right. So you have been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician, with my co-host, Ron Meniza. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on the show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.